the journey of the great 3 days of Easter began yesterday evening with a group of us, 12, appropriately enough, gathered for a Maundy Thursday service. And we began that service by hearing foundational readings of the faith. The first being the story of the first Passover from Torah, from the book of Exodus, that ancient understanding of what began to make a people for God. We heard the first account of communion, we believe, in the New Testament texts, in a letter by Paul written in the middle of the first century. A recollection of the Last Supper that was already very clearly part of the tradition, even that early, before the Gospels as we have now were put to paper. And we heard John's account of the washing of his followers' feet to honor their work, and then the commandment that he gave to them, the very simple but not easy commandment, to love one another. A commandment offered under the cloud of the impending crucifixion. Today, we continue this set of foundational stories in our tradition with this traditional reading from John's Passion narrative. John has always been painting in contrasts, light and darkness, thirst and being given something to drink, hunger and being fed, blind and being able to see. Being offered a teaching and not being able to understand it. And in the Passion narrative, in that great confrontation between Jesus and Pilate, we hear the contrast of worlds. Pilate's world could not be farther from Jesus' world. And so Pilate must have been, perhaps bewildered is not the right word. Does a Roman governor get bewildered? No, I think a Roman governor clothed with great power over legions gets simply vexed. Nonplussed is the old word, maybe. Nonplussed that when he asks Jesus if he is a king, he gets this typical Jesus non-answer answer, right? That we find in John's gospel, because Jesus is always pointing to a deeper truth, that the world of power and violence does not understand and cannot grasp. Which is why Pilate must be left with his vexation that Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from this world." It's easy to imagine that somewhere in Pilate's mind at that point, he was thinking, well, what other world is there? That for us is a question of faith on Good Friday. And it's a question that each of you have begun to answer by simply being here. Because there are so many other places to be on Good Friday. Right? It was true as well for Jesus' first followers We often focus in our Holy Week narrative on the betrayal of Judas, but by the end of the story, all of the disciples are gone, except in John's reading, the beloved disciple. I encourage you to consider the beloved disciple on two fronts. One is, the tradition holds that the beloved disciple is John himself. But there's another mystical reading of this narrative that suggests the beloved disciple is you and me, moving with Jesus through this narrative. And with that in mind, everybody had other things to do except for the few faithful who remained, most particularly the beloved disciple. Maybe the stand-in for you and me who are here today, and, of course, Jesus' mother. And the other women who refused to abandon Jesus in his greatest hour of need. That single choice, when we are confronted with a myriad of other things that we could be doing, but instead come to hear this account of our Savior's demise, is in itself witness that somehow we do not belong to the familiar world of power and violence. That we have taken at least one step into this other world that Jesus points to in his strange conversation, and it's not even that, really, with Pilate. It's what Jesus has been pointing to from the very beginning, even when his disciples could not begin to imagine what he was talking about. It is this alternative world of nonviolence, this alternative world built on love, not romantic love like in the movies, but the love that is about self-offering, the love that is about being committed to showing up even when showing up is hard, the love that remains present in the face of suffering, and the love that refuses to take up the paths of violence, even when the world seems to be calling for little else but war. The gospel suggests that the willingness to die for this alternative world is the beginning of divine action to undo the bonds of violence, oppression, and power that so dominate our lives and the lives of countless others, and in fact, the life of the planet itself. It is God's direct action to refuse to take those paths and instead take up a stance of love and solidarity with the least among us. That is to say, this is what makes this day good. That this is a foundational story about what happens when God confronts our selfishness and our greed and our violence, and when God willingly dies to them. It is good because this is the day when we chose to turn our backs, at least for a moment, on everything else that is going on and show up for this foundational story again, and offer our hearts and our minds and our bodies faithfully to this one single redeeming act. a faith that argues even after 2,000 years of the ongoing trammel of great armies and power and violence in the human family, something is different. Something has changed. God has planted something new. We are committed to that by virtue of our baptism. We have taken up a struggle, but a struggle that is unlike most revolutions in human history. It's a struggle that is offered with open hearts. It is a struggle where we put down, as Jesus instructed Peter to, the swords. We take up the mantle of that command to love one another, no matter what, even in the face of death, because there's something about love in the face of death that points to new life.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907, search for us online, or visit our website at oursaviormillvalley.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.